I lived there until I graduated from high school. When I went to the University of Idaho Law School, located in Moscow, Idaho. I stayed there 3.5 years. Was admitted to the Idaho Bar in 1924. And I worked in law offices in Nez Perce, Idaho, and Rangeville, Idaho. Until 1927, I came to Alaska.
Did you graduate from law school?
Or no.
No. Did you go to any kind of undergraduate school at all? Were there any?
Well, at that time, they were probably 1 year pre-legal. And but you were first out of some law subjects, and that's all I took.
When you, so the Idaho Bar didn't require that you finish law school?
We required that you finish law school and that you furnish certificates of competency. And I had a group of lawyers in North America, and that was also.
Were they lawyers that you had worked for?
With.
Worked with? In Idaho?
Yes. No, not in the legal field.
Oh. In what field?
I don't want to answer that.
Okay. When you were in Idaho, what kind of law did you practice? You said you worked with...
It was a farming country, cattle and wheat. And did the usual things that farm, water serving farmers do. Times were very bad.
And were they mostly bankruptcies, or did you deal with contracts? Do you remember?
Well, I don't know about bankruptcy. They were being taken over by banks, and they couldn't hold any meetings with their creditors and doing the things that small business people do when they get in financial trouble.
So who did you represent? The farmers? Did you represent the banks?
The farmers.
The farmers. How long did you do this? How long were you?
2 years.
Where did you go from there?
Went to first to Juneau and then for 7 days or 6 days and then to Ketchikan.
Why did you decide to go to Alaska?
Well, I thought it was time for me to move around. I wasn't going too well. Time for a band, and most of the farmers couldn't create the service. It generally wasn't a prosperous area at that time. I thought I could do better than Alaska.
Had you known anybody who'd been going to Alaska or who had worked in Alaska that made you come up? How had you heard that it would be better in Alaska?
I don't know. I didn't have any particular friends or associates that had been in Alaska. When I was at this person's dreams, that was mining country also. A former mining company worked out mines and some activity. And I visited mining law. And I thought there'd be a chance in that field in Alaska.
How did you travel? By boat?
The train to Seattle. The southeastern Alaska.
How long were you in southeast? How long did it take you to travel for one? How long?
It took 48 hours from Seattle to Ketchikan and another 24 hours to Juneau.
So it took 48 hours to get from Seattle
to Ketchikan? 2 days
on the
boat.
2 days on the boat. Okay. When you arrived in Juneau, did you stay there for a while?
Only about 60 days.
What did you do in Juneau?
Not much of anything.
What was the city like?
It was, Alaska Juneau Mine was the big entity there. The mine is right in town and employed more people than all the rest of town put together. And incidentally, they were Idaho people. The mine owned Idaho people.
Which people? We're Idaho people.
Name
is that D?
I don't know. People in the mining business.
Oh. It was at D-A-Y, Jay?
The Financial Services Act.
What else was Juno like? What was Juno like at the time? Besides just being, I mean...
The weather was just like it is now.
I can...
The mine was a large operation, and the community was pretty well dominated by the mining. With the capital.
Mm-hmm.
There were other smaller properties, and there was an operation now, which was built property, but they were all closed out from the beginning of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And never reopened.
What year did you arrive in Juneau?
1927.
Did you make contact with any people? Did you meet any people in Juneau?
I have some letters of introduction. The legislature was in session when I got there.
Oh, it was.
And I had some letters from some people, lawyers and other people out in this part of Alaska. Now, I didn't do much of anything. I worked part-time in the United States Marshal's Office.
What did you do there?
Well, everything. I'm a handyman, and sometimes I was a guard at the jail.
Did you go out after criminals or anything like that? No. Did you work mostly in a jailhouse or a courthouse?
Yes, courthouse.
What, there was a courthouse there at that time?
Yes, had been at my area.
Was it, go ahead.
No.
It was one building for everything? Is that one building for the court and the jail?
Well, there were some annexes.
Mm-hmm.
Substantially. It was under one roof.
Mm-hmm. Is it still there?
No.
Where was it?
It was on the hill, a high spot in the hill.
The car.
The building was torn down, the hill too, I think. Are you afraid it was doing?
Mm-mm.
It's approximate location where the present building is. But I didn't have a revelation, I didn't come back.
So they actually tore down the hill too?
Yes. Part of it at least.
Uh-huh. What did Juno look like? What did the city look like?
Well, it was just an ordinary mining town. Of course, there was fishing there too, and some fishing was the headquarters there. And the court system, the judge, the location of the first judicial division, justice that it is now.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember who the judge was?
Oh, yeah. Tom Reed, Judge Thomas Reed.
What else did it, can you describe the town more? Was it horse and buggy, or was it, did they have?
No, they had some cars, but I remember they weren't any horse and buggy. I think the drays used horses. Gilroy Cole and that type of thing.
What are the drays?
What?
What are the drays?
Dray, D-R-A-Y. People haul things from river coal and wood and household goods and so forth.
No.
Transferred the transfer. I thought it was another word. Deliver the coal and ice and groceries and whatever the rest of the river. I think there's some of the work around.
Mm-hmm. So how many people were in Juneau, about?
3,000, I think. Mm-hmm. Of course, it was landlocked. There was no access to the airplanes and airplanes. So all transportation was going on there. And two steamship companies to serve Alaska, south of Juneau.
What were the
two? Alaska Steamship Company and Admiral and the Admiral Line. I think they call that Pacific Coast Company.
So the Admiral Line was from the Pacific Coast
yes.
Company, is that?
Yeah. The Alaska Steamship Company was owned by the Guggenheims, who also owned and operated the mine Pentecost. The principal source of the revenue from the southbound revenue was shipping out of concentrated ore. Concentration was produced at the Pentecost ship out of the port of Cordova.
So the Alaska Steamship Company wasn't much of a passenger line then? Was it mostly commercial? Was it mostly?
Well, it was commercial. It was larger than that line. Yes, it was a bigger operation than that. Both as the freight and packing, but it had southbound freight to carry, and the others didn't have any.
No, it didn't have any. What did the other line carry mostly?
Well, it carried incoming cargo, like we just cut off other supplies, building materials, and buying coal for fuel, and the ordinary thing that we shipped by railroad. But it did have a substantial southbound cutting from the
other. Oh, it did? What?
Generated by the mine at Kennecott that they owned. They were mine, they were shipped southbound to further treatment outside.
But the other line didn't have southbound.
We're going to have to own both the railroad, the steamship company, and the railroad and the mine.
But they didn't own the second.
No.
The second steamship company, or the second.
They eventually bought it.
Oh, they did.
Years later.
About when did they buy it?
Oh, I don't know. I'd say. I referred to more World War II, I meant World War I.
Oh, when the mines closed? Did they close at World War I? They didn't.
I wasn't there, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, what was your last question then?
When did the Guggenheims buy the second steamship line?
I think in the 40s.
In the 40s. Who would own them? The other line, though?
Oh, no, I don't know. They were San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was just part of a large steamship operation up in the service line. Not with these boats, but I probably think it was something like that, but I forgot now.
They bought the boats that went to the Hawaiian Islands, is that?
Oh, I think they served the same as Alaska.
Yeah. Was there anything in Juneau that wasn't shipped in? It sounds like they were shipping in coal and food and
fish.
Fish. Is that the only thing? Is that in here?
Well, we just needed more things to look at here. Other found the local market. Had a local market. And it was a substantial fishing for not as big as mine at that time.
Mm-hmm. So fishing wasn't that important at that time, was that?
Well, it was secondary to mining.
Mm-hmm. Were there big commercial fishing fleets out then, or were there just small operators?
Yes, commercial. Yes, they were commercial.
Well, were there any large operations? I think that.
At least most of these boats delivered their catch to a shore-based facility where they were. Canned or frozen or dried. Very few of them had that. If any at that time had a mobile processing facility. Quite a few of them do now. But as now, they're delivered mostly to the shore plants or the main team. You know, I had two camps to process the plants, small ones.
Mm-hmm. So it was a small industry at that time.
And a small place, too.
A small place. Can you tell me more about Juneau at all? Other companies that were there? Were there any other? What were the markets like? What were?
I don't think there's anything outstanding about them. They're just the usual thing. It's a small town, of course, Juneau and now adverse weather and high wind, deep snow, which were a factor in keeping the streets open. And we're just keeping it, you know, stocks are good and stocks on hand.
Were there mostly men in Juneau? Were there any women?
Oh, yes, there were, but they had men outnumbered women. My record was substantial.
Mm-hmm. Were you married before you came up, or did you get married after you?
I got married in Ketchikan.
In Ketchikan. Before we get to Ketchikan, who of the bar were in Juneau when you first arrived? Do you remember?
Well, there was nobody practicing law in Alaska. It was in Alaska when I came there.
There was no one practicing law?
No one now.
Alive. Oh, no one now. Well, tell me about the ones who aren't alive.
Who aren't alive?
Yeah, the people who were really prominent in the bar at that time.
Are you talking about Ketchikan or Juneau?
Juneau. Let's start with Juneau.
Well, Judge Lee, the judge, Thomas M. Reed, he's been at Noel. Was there at the time of mine litigation, which led to the term squatters, which he probably committed with.
Mm-hmm. Was he there after Noyes? Is that?
He was in there during that time, part of that time.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was, when the administration changed in the 20s, when the party was elected the president, he was appointed district judge in southeast Alaska. I don't believe that Juneau had a headquarters in Juneau and made trips within the 2 year to catch a camp before session was appointed.
Was Reed in Nome, was he a judge in Nome? Or was he a marshal or a district attorney?
He was a lawyer.
Yeah. Who else was in Juneau at this time?
Now, if you want to Reed has a daughter here. She might not work in the and she's a stepmother, she's a foster daughter.
In Anchorage?
Yes. Her name is Misha, V-M-E-T-I-A, Harm, H-A-H-M, I think that's the name.
Okay.
40 or 50 years in the court system. He retired in the last 10 years. He retired from the district, from the employee of the district clerk's office here in Anchorage. 8 or 10 years in the last week. Her name was Anthony, her father's name. He rejected customs. He was lost his ground on the Savile side, because A-V-I-A, the British steamship Penny sank near Juneau and lost all hands, he remembers, the Patrick vessel.
What was it? How did you spell it?
Savile, S-A-V-I-A, no, that's just how it sounds, that's not the way to spell it.
Was it Savoy, S-A-V-O-Y?
No. British ship, you know, Indian ship.
When did it sink?
Oh, before 19, before the 20s, I'd say in the 15s, 15, 20.
Were they all British passengers? Is that?
No, he wasn't a British.
He was a true collector of customs.
No, the British steamship companies were more active than they are now. They shouldn't be. Freight passengers out of Vancouver and Victoria for South Eastern Coast.
Did they come regularly to Alaska?
Well, it's in the schedule of vessels.
Mm-hmm. When did they stop coming?
I'm surprised they have stopped, doesn't it? I think they said my jury had some name.
Did they?
I think so.
Yeah.
I know they did. But, are you a lawyer?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Jones Act, which is a seven so much controversy in those days, prohibited foreign vessels from hauling cargo off one place in the United States to another place in the United States,
mm-hmm.
except Alaska. So, I mean, the Jones Act provision and saving clause by the Canadian vessels were able to handle the people of the American freight.
From you.
That did not, the U.S. when it was repealed, finally repealed the Sailor Act.
Mm-hmm.
It was in existence for 60 years at least.
Were there any real competition to the Guggenheim interests? Were they?
They didn't cross the Gulf.
Okay. So they didn't come up?
They didn't come up.
Yeah.
They just served Southeast
Mm-hmm. Did they have southbound cargo? Or did they just have passengers and bring things up?
I don't
up?
Believe they did. You see, like fish products, they didn't go to Seattle. They didn't go take their voyage to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
The American, one of the fish processed fish, and we'd have to then take them by other means on into Seattle.
Yeah.
And we found it more convenient, which we just take an American vessel back to Seattle or Tacoma.
Sure, that makes sense. Yeah. So whatever southbound cargo they'd have, it would have had to be things that the Canadians would
right.
use.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What other attorneys were up here at that time in Juneau?
Henry Roden was acting Attorney General in Waterhead. Was acting there at that time.
Is that R H O?
R O D E N.
R O D E N.
Bob Robertson, Ralph, R.E. Robertson,
mm-hmm.
who's son-in-law, has carried on the business under the firm name of
that's Robertson.
Robertson, he's selling on Mario.
Right. Is there anybody related to Henry Roden around?
No, I mean, Henry Roden had no children.
No children.
He's married with a
Did he develop the mining laws with
he
his?
Wrote on the subject.
He did?
Yeah. He said in one pamphlet, he was active, very, very active in mining.
Mm-hmm. What did he do? Did he go to miners' meetings, or did he?
Been mining for miners for his clients, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to. He was anyway. He'd been in the interior. He'd been in Fairbanks during the time of the war.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he
did. Is that where he developed his mining law?
Yes.
Did most people use it? Did people use? Like, did he develop any standards or?
Oh, not particularly.
Mm-hmm. Were there courts for it, or did they do it out of court?
Well, both. This is a good one. H.L. Faulkner was a well-established attorney there. And that's carried on under the name of Faulkner Manfield and
Yeah.
They have an IRS officer.
Mm-hmm.
River Wind. That's the law name, you know.
Is that W-I-N?
His family had been in jail since the family. Family relatives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the law, but I can remember not now.
Was George Wickersham down there?
Jim Wickersham.
James the Terrible.
James the Terrible.
Why did they call him that?
Well, I was his political opponent. He was actually in politics.
Uh-huh.
There's been a pretty fair book. They mentioned that way. There's been a book about him.
I've read it. Did you meet Wickersham? Did you?
Knew him very well.
What was he like?
Like a politician.
What do you mean when you say like a politician?
Well, he was a very forceful fellow. Very quarrelsome fellow, too. But he had been in all parts of Alaska. Established the court system in the Greenback Street. Served as a delegate to Congress for a 5-term and appeared to Congress. I don't know what else he did.
Did he talk about all the things he'd done?
Oh, frequently. He wrote some articles on it, too. He has a...
A niece.
Yeah, a niece.
Yeah.
He's in a...
Coffin? Is that?
Ruth. No.
I can...
She's apparently... I think she's tried to write something about Rick, too. Ruth Coffin, I guess.
Yeah. Name. He must have been fairly old when you knew him. Is that in 27?
Yes, he was in his 65.
Oh, that's nice. From her book, you know, she makes his...
Well, he died about in the 30s, didn't he? 30?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, he was probably doing a push meeting with his daughter.
But he had all his faculties when you...
Oh, yes.
When you saw him.
He was active in the practice.
What kind of practice was he doing?
Anything you could get. General practitioner saw him.
He didn't have any steady clients?
Well, I don't know. Helen's always from the airport. Helen's on. Jack and his others and Cy. Cy and John's father here too.
Were they both in Juneau? Yes. Cy and Jack?
Jack came here from I sit there and Bob and I got down to the camp. Cy came here to Rick. John was born there. Yes.
What kind of practice? Well, what?
They represented the National Junior Mining Committee.
Oh, they did? What about Grover Wynn? What kind of practice did he have?
Criminal defense. Bootlegging, depending. Bootleggers was a big business in those days.
Oh, it was. Did they it was prohibition, was that?
Yes. Yeah.
Was it enforced?
Well, they didn't stop drinking.
Hmm. Was there any serious enforcement, or it was just...
Oh, yes, yes, they had enforcement agents. Oh, yes. The court counties were crowded with them. Come on. Very large percentage of the business had to do with food bank. Yes, one way or another, I remember it was against the law of some of the media.
Yeah, right. Who was the district attorney at the time?
Howard Staber.
Is that S-A-B-E-R?
S-T-A-B-L-E-R. And one time George Fuller was an assistant. And he had a daughter here in town. And her name is Witherspoon. Claire. He works in law for legal for the legal secretary.
Was George Folta here when you came up?
When you say here, what do you mean?
Was he in Juneau?
Yes.
When you arrived? Yes. Yeah. He was in a district attorney then? Or?
Yes.
Where is he from?
He came from Puget Sound somewhere, I think.
Somewhere?
Puget Sound.
Oh, Puget Sound.
You know what I mean? I think so.
Yeah.
He was actually a district judge.
Yeah.
Whippen, Kara Whippen.
What kind of practice did Faulkner have?
Well, he didn't have a criminal affairs, I don't think. So it was mostly general practice, probation.
Did most of the attorneys who were in a general practice handle mining law? Was that?
Yes.
Is that a?
Yes, they all did.
Mm-hmm. So Robertson did too?
Yes.
Is that?
Yes.
Did either of these, did Robertson or Faulkner have firms at that time?
No.
Neither. They were both sole practitioners. When did they start getting any kind of fish business? Any kind of
they had some fish business.
Commercial. So they did then too.
Yeah.
All of them or Robertson?
All of them.
Except for George Wynn, who criminal defense.
Grover
Wynn. Yeah. Sorry. Were there any other criminal defense attorneys?
Roden and Wynn had some kind of a loose arrangement, and then they had a firm name and joined a law office. And two of them had criminal cases. They weren't specialists in that field, I would say. They were general practitioners ever since the word.
Were there any specialists at the time, or any of the attorneys? Did both the Hellenthals do mining law?
They did, which is a big account there, of course. Two of them left them in the business for the miners and supervisory persons of that, so.
Do you remember any of the other attorneys in town?
George Grigley was either there or in Ketchikan, one way or the other. I don't know which. I don't remember the way they came there. No, he was in Ketchikan. He was in there later.
Was Norm Banfield in town yet?
No, I think Norman came in the 30s. working with when I got there. And one or two others, I think, but I don't know who they were. The little fellow from Skagway, and then Skagway was there.
Who had people that written you letters of recommendation? Who did they write them to? Did they write them to any people in particular that they knew?
One was written to Jerry Reed, I think. I was. You don't want to be here. It was very difficult for me. I stayed in Juneau for 60 days.
Mm-hmm. That's my, I realize.
But I spent 50 years since then going back and forth to Juneau.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you sometimes when I'm talking about
Yeah. In those 60 days, what did you do?
I'm looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I worked for the marshal.
Who was the marshal?
Al White. I had letters, directed letters to him. He had lived in Gainesville, Idaho. That's where I was when I left.
Did you have to take the Alaska bar?
No.
You never did? Oh. Who moved that you be admitted? Who was the one?
Lester Gore.
Lester Gore. Did, is this when you were in Ketchikan?
Yeah.
After, let's go to Ketchikan then. Use my clothes. When you arrived in Ketchikan, had you already talked to somebody? What made you decide to go to Ketchikan?
Well, I thought there was more activity there. It was a much larger fish operation conducted out there. It was generally had some land prospects. It was considered to be kind of the commercial area, the largest commercial area. Prosperous commercial area. But I went down there around during the month of September. I got married in October. I went to Hyder in December.
My God.
So I didn't spend a lot of time in Pittsburgh either.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. But I came back in April 1929.
This was September of 28 before that you went to Ketchikan?
27.
September 27. Okay. Let me just stop you for a minute. Did you meet your wife in Ketchikan?
No. No.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. She's from Eastern Washington.
She was what?
From Eastern Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, so you, did you go up with her?
Grew up with her.
Grew up with her. How did she get to Alaska?
Well, these boats are telling me about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have only had one of my boats on the number.
Did you send for her? Or did,
yes.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Had you made plans before you left?
Well,
that she would.
I don't know about that. We didn't have some communication.
By telephone? By letter?
They didn't have to come to our radio. All my letter by mail.
So she came up to meet you in Ketchikan. That must have been some letter you sent her.
Oh, yes.
In Ketchikan, you said that there were, it was a prosperous commercial area. Did you know then that you wanted to get into some kind of commercial practice? Is that?
Well, that's what I had no idea. Mm-hmm. But Judge Reed reactivated the commissioner's office according to mining and party office and supervised. And appointed me as the assistant commissioner for the idea of the Hyder on December 1st.
So December 1st, 1927, you were commissioner at Hyder.
Right, yeah.
You arrived. What kind of cases did you hear?
Well, mining strike, prospectors of Rocky Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes.
What do you mean?
Well, it didn't develop.
I don't understand, no.
Well, you know, prospectors will develop, but there won't be lots of mining projects. There will be one out of them. There's no fraction of them that will develop in the course of properties.
Mm-hmm.
Another 9 tenths or so just kind of wither out and fade away. How do you want to do that?
How do they determine which ones they're going to develop and which ones?
That's the money engineers do that kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
These are prospectors.
So they wouldn't even know?
Oh, yes, they would.
Oh, they would?
They'd take samples. Mm-hmm. And that's the last area.
Mm-hmm.
But they're familiar with somehow, I think. Hyder has a tremendous snowfall in the water, 30 or 40 feet. Not that much on the level, but that much would fall right in the water. And the prospector pulled up in the town, a lot of people were all that camera there. And it's generated commercial activity in the town.
Mm-hmm.
And when the mining company didn't know it, and engineers in there and were prospecting themselves, or they're developing prospects, or trying to develop prospects, or examining prospects. It was completely the mining company. It was hard rock mining, not fresh.
What's the difference?
I'm just putting it down. Hard rock is the mine. You find the ore body, you have to treat it to get the ore out. Plastic mine is found in the gravel and the pit beds. Operational processing. He sits it out and the guy will sit it out and say, it's old and small. So it's not as small as it was. Whereas in the hard rock mine, you go through a furnace and you dig it with various kinds of smelters.
So they had smelters at Hyder?
No, they did not.
Oh, they didn't?
Well, they were shipped to Hyder. And the smelter in Vancouver and one in Tacoma, Washington. The smelter's a big operation.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to that thing. I never had to do that. Take a little bit of some rich mindset.
So when you were there during the strike, how did that affect the mining operations? What was?
What do you think I meant when I said strike?
Oh, they made a strike.
Yes.
Oh, I'm thinking of a labor strike. That's terrible. And you've even said that to me before, you know, that they had a strike at Hyder, and I realized that they had a gold strike, and for some reason, yeah. So in Hyder, what kind of cases did you, I mean, can you give an example of the kind of disputes that would arise after?
Mining disputes over claim boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Religious locations. Various things.
Did you have to go out a lot and actually look at the sites and see? Or did you do most of your deciding in a courtroom?
Oh, I didn't.
Did you have a courthouse? What did you use?
Well, the first one was there. Well, we had a store building. The next spring it was remodeled a little bit, except for the living quarters. I never had an office joint, the second two floor of the office joint, where I kept my books and records and where I had to work.
Mm-hmm. How many people were in Hyder?
Well, I think there was close to 1,000 when we made that first winter. It gradually decreased in the next 4 or 5 years. But, of course, it's right on the boundary line. They, half the towns of Alaska and half of it is from there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another Canadian community a couple of miles away. So I'm talking about the American section. But the Canadian section is always bigger. The Thomas should get more than all the weather.
Were there ever disputes between whether it was on American land or Canadian land?
Not too much. Was that had all been marked out and now they've been established in the It wasn't trouble sometimes, but if you went into the mining country, you crossed back and forth across the boundary line.
Mm-hmm.
The boundary line didn't. None of them were in trails and roads, kind of one that was a great course. And there were some disputes. And of course, the upper, where the wealthy, better Canadian prospects were, you couldn't go from Canada to the United States. Canada.